This is Father Dennis Schenkel, a Catholic priest of the Diocese of Memphis, and you're listening to the Memphis Padres Sermon Podcast. This Sunday is the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time, and here is my sermon for this week. I love Memphis. I love it with all my heart. It's the city I grew up in, and where I live and work, and there are people in Memphis I love. When I return home from a journey, I get excited when I see the bridge that crosses the Mississippi River, a mile and a half across, or when I see the sun reflect off the stainless steel Bass Pro Pyramid, the sixth largest pyramid in the world, by the way, and when I roll up on a barbecue joint and smell the ribs smoking, it's hard to tell if I'm in love or if I'm just hungry. I love Memphis with all my heart, and maybe there is some place you love or someone you love with all your heart. My question today, though, is what does all this love have to do with my heart or yours? What does any of that have to do with a lump of muscle in my chest? Does the heart love? Does the heart really want what the heart wants? Does the heart actually want? Does the heart have emotions? Does the heart make choices? Does the heart know the difference between real barbecue and what they serve in Kansas City? Today's psalm says, if today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. How can I harden or not harden my heart? The heart is a muscle. It expands and contracts. It moves the blood around my body. But in our songs and our poetry up and down the ages, the heart is also something more, so much more. When we talk about the psalms, of course, we're talking about ancient poetry, the poetry of ancient Israel, much of it written in the time of King David, or perhaps even by King David himself, about 1,000 years before the time of Jesus. And even then, the heart was an important image in poetry and music. Ancient people knew, just like we know today, that when we get excited, when we are thrilled, whether by the appearance of someone we love, or by the sight of the majesty of God's creation, or by the sound of that special someone's voice, our hearts leap into response. If you doubt me, check the pulse of a middle school boy trying to talk to a girl he likes. And ancient people also knew that a sure sign of whether a person was alive or not was the heartbeat. The heart can mean the difference between life and death. If the heart stops, that's it. We can imagine it this way then. If the heart moves, it means life. But if the heart is hard, does not move, then it means death. In the Bible, when we hear about Pharaoh hardening his heart against the Hebrews, against Moses, and against God, we know that this will lead to the death of thousands. So the psalmist warns us to listen to God and not harden our hearts against him. But God is my friend. So of course, I'm not going to harden my heart against him, am I? I love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength. So why would I ever harden my heart against him? It's easy enough to say that. It's easy enough to say I would never harden my heart against God. Easy when things are going my way, when I'm winning at life, and when it seems like I'm doing what God wants me to do, when I'm being who God wants me to be. But what about when I'm not? What about when I'm in sin? When I think my life is all about me? When I think that other people are there for my benefit, or that they need to get out of my way? When I think I'm entitled to praise, to adulation, to being the center of attention, when I choose to love things over people rather than people over things, when I prefer myself over everything else and prioritize my will as the highest good rather than God's, my heart is hardened, and a hardened heart is not alive. So sometimes what we need is not just divine intervention. We need a shock to the system. We need divine defibrillation. We need to hear God's voice, the same God who spoke and light was made, who spoke and the heavens and the earth were made, who spoke and all manner of living creatures were made. That same God speaks to us, his voice that made everything out of nothing, his voice that called life out of lifelessness. His voice calls and shouts and breaks through our deafness, so that our hearts can beat, so that we can be alive again. God's voice speaks to us every day. Oh, I don't mean that you'll turn a corner later today and run into a hunk of burning bush. I mean that God speaks to us in our daily circumstances, in the quiet center of our hearts, in prayer, in silence, in stillness. And he speaks to us through other people, people who care about us and who are also seeking God's will, seeking to hear his voice. So we must be humble enough to accept the loving correction of fellow Christians when we are in sin, especially when we know they love us, especially when we know they are listening to God's will, especially when we have hardened our hearts. This is the moment God has chosen to revive us. This is the person God has sent to shock our hearts back into the rhythm. It can be the instruments of God's divine defibrillation, and we can be that for our fellow Christians. And the gospel today shows us how God uses ordinary people like you and me to speak his word to one another, to carry his voice to the hearts of those who need divine defibrillation. Jesus tells us that when someone is on the wrong track, it's up to Christians to call them to the good, the true, the beautiful. It's up to us, not just the priests or the nuns, not the cops or the judges, us, you and me. We are commanded to do that for each other. God warns the prophet Ezekiel that, if I tell the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade the wicked from his way, the wicked shall die for his guilt, but I will hold you responsible for his death. But if you warn the wicked, trying to turn him from his way, and he refuses to turn from his way, he shall die for his guilt, but you shall save yourself. We do this in love, not in judgment, not in sinful pride like the Pharisees or scribes of Jesus' day, but as a family. Jesus even tells us that if someone will not listen, if someone has hardened their heart against God, then we should treat them as we would a Gentile or a tax collector. Yes, you heard that right, as a Gentile or a tax collector. But before we jump to conclusions, before we rush to judgment, let's figure out what that means. At first, it sounds like he's telling us to stop loving them, to shun them, to judge them as unworthy. There is something deeper here. If we are disciples of Jesus, if we are striving to live as Jesus lives and love as Jesus loves, the question to ask is this: how does Jesus treat Gentiles and tax collectors? He treats them with mercy and loving kindness. He never stops loving them, and he never stops calling. So when God calls us to correct each other, even when people have hardened their hearts, we are never to stop loving. We are never to stop being the love of Christ, because that's how Christ loves. That's how his Father loves. That's how God loves, and he made us to love, with hearts that beat with life, in the rhythm of God's own heart. He calls, and he never stops calling, because he loves us. He sent his Son, because he loves us, to be like us in all things but sin, because he loves us, to die a death like us, death on the cross, because he loves us. He loves us with all his heart, and he begs us not to harden ours. Thanks for listening to the Memphis Padre Sermon Podcast. You can find links to this Sunday's scripture at memphispadre.com, where you will find our sermon archive, links to great Catholic sites, and information on how to contact me, Father Dennis. And may God richly reward you this week.